Hello and welcome to GPTV on Tuesday the 28th of April. My name is Philip Kingston.
And I'm Gary Peer.
Gary, we're in the home straight of April. Do you think we'll ever have another April like the April that
Definitely
we just
not.
Had?
No chance that's ever going to happen, Phil. Well, I don't know. Who would have thought this would ever happen?
Well, you know, if we ever had another April like this April, we won't be in business.
I don't think so. It's unlikely, Phil.
Let's be very clear, viewers. This has been the most challenging month that a real estate agent could go through. And if we look backwards in time, I mean, you know, you're an old guy, Gary. You've seen everything since the Great Depression, even the First World War. Do you remember a time that has been as challenging as this?
Well, in the late 1800s, Phil, I think there was a time. Look, that's not true, Phil. I haven't been around that long. But having said that, Phil, it is a very interesting and different time.
It is.
And, you know, everything changes every day. You know, that's the thing. It's like the ground from underneath us, Phil, is shifting. It's like, you know, when you go to Luna Park and you walk on that slippery slide, you just don't know what's going on. Yep. So it feels a little bit like that at the moment. Things are very confusing, but you know, there's still buyers, there's still sellers, and the core of what we do as real estate agents, Philip, hasn't changed.
Well, Gary, it's just interesting how life has changed, though, in general. Ultimately, viewers, if we're going to be clear and precise about the market is actually tracking along reasonably from a pricing point of view.
Yeah, it is, Phil.
Having said that, the volume has just disappeared.
Decimated.
And I would think that any agent that tells you that business is normal and everything's fine is really kidding you, because the volume of sales, I reckon, in the industry is probably down by 70%.
However, Philip, if you were a real estate agent before and didn't sell anything, then it is business as usual. Isn't it really? I suppose you could say that, couldn't you?
I think the interesting thing that I'm finding, Gary, is that there is still a real connection between buyers that really want to buy and sellers that really want to sell. And they are meeting. And
they
the
are
sales
meeting.
Are starting to happen.
And here is the thing, Philip. We're entering a period, in my opinion, with the vision that I have, and I'm a visionary, Philip, but for the next 2 or 3 weeks anyway, I think what's going to happen is we're going to go into that standoff, a Mexican standoff. We've been here before, Philip, where we had a Mexican standoff. Comes to Australia because the buyers are saying, you know what, I think I'm going to wait till prices come down. The vendors are saying, I don't need to sell, so you can come up. So buyers are coming saying, come down. Vendors are going, come up. And everybody's kind of stood off. Everyone's got their guns drawn, but no one wants to fire first, Phil. And let me continue with this, Phil. What I think is going to happen is, I think that this lack of stock, two things are going to happen. Either vendors will say, oh, what the hell? And they'll start adjusting their prices. Or buyers will say, well, I'm sick of waiting, and they'll come up. And somewhere they'll meet in the middle, Philip. That's my summary.
So you will find a new equilibrium. Yeah, although, viewers, if you're watching at home and you've got a broad breadth of knowledge. If you actually know what a Mexican standoff is, I'd like to know really what that is, because just watched two seasons of Narcos Mexico.
Oh, well. Right? Was there any standoff there?
I've got to tell you. What I know about Mexican standoffs, Gary, is you generally don't have your head on your shoulders at the end of it. So I'm not sure whether that analogy has any validity.
It's peaceful.
Whatsoever.
Now, Phil, anyone that's clicked on the show now and watching it, they would see it's a very long show.
Very long episode.
And the reason it's a long episode, Phil, is not because you and I are gabbling and just talking nonsense for half an hour like we usually do, but it's because we've just had an interview, we're just about to have an interview with the president of the RAIV, Leah Cowlin, who has graced us with her president's wisdom and knowledge, Philip, and seen fit to come on the GP show, Philip, the
you
GP
think with
TV
all
show.
That she's got on her plate at the moment, the last thing she would have any time for. But this is because this is a hard-hitting show, and we've got a lot of people that you know, when celebrities come to town, they want to go on certain shows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do.
It's like Leah's been, she's been actually asking us for years to come on the show. We finally let her.
I know.
Who would want to be the president of the Real Estate Institute of Victoria in these challenging times? But what a nice person she is.
She's a wonderful
Highly articulate, so stay tuned. Towards the end, we'll hand over to a moment where Gary completely dominates the interview. You did dominate the interview. You didn't give me a chance to come in at all. But I thought you were very good. I was just standing there. I was kind of standing back here, right? I feel like that person that's completely the odd person out.
Yeah.
But I thought the way you interviewed her was very good.
Thanks, Phil. Well, I was prepared, Phil. That was the difference. I was prepared, and I should have probably shared half the questions with you. That was a bit selfish of me, but
I thought you'd let you have your moment of glory.
No, that's good. So I like your Is it a compliment? I'm not really sure. I have to think about it. Phil, let's talk
about... Take the compliment for what it is, Gary.
Okay, I'll take it for what it is, Phil. We are finishing with April now. It's going to be May next episode, Philip. And, of course, we are in unprecedented times. But properties are still selling, Phil. Buyers are still buying. Sellers are still selling. Just to name a few, Philip, very quickly.
Well, we've got a few auctions coming up this weekend too, Gary. Let's not forget those.
Well, we've sold 4 Libner Street, Carnegie, for those that want to know what's going on with price. Libner sold for $1,366,000, Philip. We sold a property in 316 Inkerman Road. Can't say the price, Phil, but you know, it did get sold. Phil, we have some to review. You know this property in Los Angeles Court. It's due to go to auction this weekend, Philip, at 3:30. It's our property of the week.
Viewers, what an incredible street Los Angeles Court is. And even if you're not interested in real estate, but you are interested in the local area that you might you might be part of, come into Los Angeles Court, because I think it's the most spectacular street. It's a no-through road, comes in from Brighton Road, beautiful tree line, amazing architecture, and walking distance to Carlisle Street. With all of those reasons, I think we're going to have probably a competitive Zoom auction this weekend, Gary.
If not sold prior, Philip.
If not sold prior.
It may well be, and that's what's happening. A lot of things are going prior, Philip. But come along, see a wonderful property in a, is it a dead end street, no through road, or cul-de-sac?
We don't call anything a dead end, Gary.
No?
But we can call it a cul-de-sac, we can call it a no through road, we can call it a court.
Yeah, closed.
But we would never call it a dead end.
Fair enough, Phil. We won't then. Let's talk about the other properties we've got, Philip, coming up this weekend. We've got Tranmere Avenue, Carnegie. What a great looking property in a wonderful street. Love this two bedroom, one bathroom, one car space apartment.
Property, Gary, and in fairly original condition, which means you can buy this property and put your own inputs there and turn that into something fabulous.
Your inputs. Okay, gorge on that one. I love it.
Your interior design thought process. Very not good. Your inputs.
Your inputs are there, and you can go and put some input into Vortia Street, Elwood, Phillip, a wonderful Bayside apartment.
What a great property. Walk to breakfast, walk to lunch, walk to dinner when the cafes do reopen in Ormond Road, Elwood.
You know, you can get some takeaway, Phil.
I miss not sitting in a cafe.
No, you're a cafe dweller.
I love cafes. I love the atmosphere. I love being part of a local area. I love the buzz. I love the banter with the barista. And I'm missing that.
I'm going to throw this open to all viewers. When COVID's over, come to Common Room on the corner of in the V on the corner of Oron Crescent, Elmer Road, because Philip is in fact the mayor of that institution.
All us chickens, of course.
I've seen you walk in there and the whole place has stopped, you know, and then you've made announcements to everybody, you've had rousing applause, you've taken that whole place over, Philip.
Do you know what, Gary? One of these days I will run for the mayor of Glen Eira or Port Phillip, and it'll be a landslide victory.
Oh,
and
course,
you
course.
Can imagine it's going to be game on, permits approved everywhere.
Exactly. And what about this time where you've come into the Common Room, you've just sort of shouted everybody? You've done that before too.
So
like, shout the bar. Exactly right. Which I thought was great. I thought it was a generous, good thought until I realised I had to sign off on it because it wasn't him personally, it was through the company. But
One of the nicest times I had there, by the way, is I walked in one day and a bit of a shout out to my friend Leon, who was sitting at a table with a group of his mates.
G'day, Leon.
And it was his birthday.
I
got a plate of muffins, took them over, and I got the entire
restaurant to sing.
To sing happy birthday.
There were babies, there were old people, everyone was laughing, babies were crying,
buses
were singing.
Came in from interstate.
It was crazy, wasn't it? Crazy. Anyway, we do things like that, don't we, Phil? I think as we get older.
You've got to live life to the full, Gary.
You know, I love that about you.
You don't want to leave anything on the. When you check out, Gary, when you check out, right, and you know, hopefully that you will live to 120.
Yes, please.
I can't imagine what you'll look like. Imagine what your eyebrows would look like at 120. But when you check out, Gary, and you finally check out, you don't want to leave anything on the table. And that's a statement to my two sons. There will not be a cent left.
Exactly right. So they better start working and working hard, Phil. I can share that with my kids too. We've got that in common, haven't we?
Yep.
We can tell them all that. Phil, we've got another property here in Kinross Avenue, just across the road from where we are.
We are, in fact, apartment. I can see it right there.
Three-bedroom apartment, Phil, on the high five. fives or, you know, maybe low sixes. That's good value.
Yep.
19 Bamber Road, another one that we're featuring, Philip, due to go to auction on Sunday.
That's a beautiful property.
905 square metres of prime Caulfield Northland, together with the most beautiful Art Deco home. And you can literally walk out your front door and get on the tram in Balaclava Road or walk around Caulfield Park with you in the morning, Gary. They can, Phil, although I'm doing 20-kilometre walks now, Phil.
I know, that's
18 kilometres, 19 kilometres, 20 kilometres. I just walk and just forget myself, Phil. Just forget myself. Like somebody that's got, what's it called when you forget?
Dementia.
Yeah, that one, or amnesia. Just sort of forget, just wander. Wander the streets aimlessly now.
Do you have a little badge? Like,
yeah, I've got a little badge.
Like Paddington Bear?
Yeah, you can find me.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's a little badge, a little Paddington Bear. Please return me.
to my, it's my mother's birthday today, actually, Phil.
Is that my happy birthday?
Would have been, dear, if she was here. I think, yes, well into her 90s she would have been, sadly. Phil, let's move on. Also, just some numbers and stats. Phil, 65 to 70 private buyer appointments and inspections we're having per day at the moment. Just want you to know that,
that's
Phil.
That's right up there with
there are a lot of people. So if you think nothing's happening, you're wrong. There are buyers and sellers
meeting.
You're interested
in buying, just ring your agent, book an appointment for a property. We'll show you through one-on-one individually. We'll take all the precautions that are necessary.
Deals are happening and things are happening. The last thing I want to throw in GPTV before we cross over to Leah Phillip is Mal James. The James Report comes out every week. And, of course, you know you've made it as a real estate agent when the James Report comes out and the front page, there he is. We're going to have a nice close-up of that. There he is on the front page with his hands out. It kind of reminds me, you look like you used to look there when we used to go out night clubbing, you know? That's kind of at about 11:30.
Will someone go home with me?
Please. Anyway, the James Report, there he is.
That's
wow, how about that?
Photo.
So we're going to make sure we get a nice clear shot of that,
you put
on the screen.
In fairness to Mal, he actually sent that photo through to me and said, do you mind if I run this photo? And I was too embarrassed to say, yes, I do mind, because it would have sounded so narcissistic of me, but that is so shocking.
We're going to keep showing that, don't worry.
Although I say it's a shocking photo, but some people say, no, you actually look good in that, which means if I look good in that photo, they're really saying, geez, you're an ugly guy.
You actually look all right. Must be an old photo because you've got the old colours there from about three logos ago.
Move along, Gary. Looking forward to having a GPTV in the not too distant future where the sales are coming thick and fast. But viewers,
bust up bragging again,
it is a hard time for real estate agents. Yeah. So if you do know a real estate agent, metaphorically put your hands out, give them a hug. Yeah. Give them some money, some food, something.
Just a bowl of soup, anything, just to keep them warm and happy, you know.
A bowl of thin soup, just thin a bowl soup, of broth.
Yeah. Exactly, that'll do us right now. We'll be happy with anything. Anyway, we are making light of a awkward, difficult situation, because that's what we do, Phil. You know, some people say we're insensitive, but it's not about being sensitive. It's about making the positive news out there that we can, Phil. And there's a show called SNG. It's a show called SNG, so in America called Some Good News, SGN. Some Good News. Have you seen that?
SGN,
John Krasinski, I think, runs it. Some Good News. So a shout out to Some Good News because they'll probably tag us in there. From a property show in Melbourne, Australia, Some Good News. We love good news and we're here to share it as well.
So let's cross now to Leah. And as we cross, let me just say, have another safe week.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you next week. But now let's have a chat with the president of the Real Estate Institute of Victoria.
No fake news here. Over to you, Leah. Thank you. Well, it's wonderful to have on GPTV the president of the REIV, Leah Callinan, who's got so much time on her hands. We just found her wandering around the streets here and thought, gee, you look like you're lonely with nothing to do today. So come and join us on GPTV.
Nothing to do, Gary.
So thank you for being here and joining us, Leah. And boy, what a job you've taken on in 2020. Did you know that you were taking on this?
No, I have. Apparently, I crossed way too many black cats in the last 12 months because it just seems to keep giving 2020. Yeah.
It's absolutely full on, and let's just talk a little bit about what it means to be the president of the ROV, because firstly, there's an election process.
Yeah.
Is that a vicious, dirty, tough, horrible, gritty election, or is it very civil and...
It's pretty civil. No, it goes through the executive process, so there is a vice president, a senior vice president, and potentially going to be president, and usually there's follows in the sequence and voted by the board. So clearly the board knew something I didn't. When they all said, yep, you're not honestly, yep, she's in.
And walked away having a
yeah, that's
chuckle.
Right.
Tell me, you've been with the ROV for a few years though, in other areas. What have you done there over the years in terms of your other roles?
Yes.
Well, Gary, you'd remember her from the disciplinary committee, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, I do remember, Phil, because I had to write a letter on your behalf. tough, to give you a character reference. That's not true, by the way. Well, by the way, what's your purpose of that? I mean, is that like your security?
No, the iPad makes us look technologically friendly.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Sorry, Leah.
He's playing Minecraft or something on there at the inventory.
I think it's Netflix. He's become very addicted. We're worried about him at the moment. So you've been involved before. What have you done before the ROV?
So 6 years on the board, ROV trainer, spent a lot of time on the property management chapter. Back when the legislation for residential tenancy in 97, I worked on that. So okay. I've been around a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your period of presidency is from when to when?
It's from October to October.
Okay, fair enough. Just in time to have all of the fun.
That's right.
So we'll just reflect on that for a second. So you've started, you've come in October, you've come into the time when the market's turned from being not such a great market into a great market, agents are flying, things are wonderful, 2020 looks like the year from heaven.
It's amazing, high clearance rates.
Absolutely, high clearance rates, great volume, no vacancies, everything's flying. And then, of course, we start off 2020, the bushfires, a terrible tragedy. I think it's been all overshadowed with the COVID crisis. And then, of course, you've had that. You've had the new tenancy laws that have come in, which we've got some news on that, and now COVID.
COVID-19, And two constitution challenges as well through the membership.
Absolutely. So it's been, been nothing else to do.
Not much going on.
You're a mother with three kids, and you're also running your own business. So no wonder you've got plenty of time on your
hands. Yeah, I really am tired,
Can understand a little bit. So at the end of October, you get to re-elect as well. You get to go in again. Do presidents get a second term? Is it like America where you get two terms, or is it indefinite?
My lovely senior vice president, Adam Docking, does often say two-term Leah.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
I'm not sure Leah's happy with that concept.
Fair enough. Can understand that as well. Now, most people know about the REIV, of course. It's been around for do we know how long it's even been around for in terms of...
Put me on the spot on that one. I think it's 80 odd years.
Thereabouts. And what's the main core function of the REIV? What do the REIV do?
So it's a membership organisation supporting members, training members, lobbying government. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and probably now after the Easter break and we saw the changes that came in, proposed changes for inspections taking place and then now not, now the REIV is certainly at the forefront of every conversation.
What percentage of real estate agents are members of the Real Estate Institute of Victoria?
We're sitting at about 80%.
Okay, so it's pretty well subscribed.
That's right. Yeah. And if you're not a member, you've actually had this big fear of missing out over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I think we had 60 new membership applications come through this month alone.
Yeah, well, if there's ever a time you wanted to be a member, it's now. What's going on. And I've seen broadcasts coming out from you personally through, and of course, the Institute at 11 o'clock at night and weekends and crazy times. You must be going burning the candle at both ends now. It must be crazy.
I just said to a board member before that, it's 5 weeks. It's 5 weeks, 7 days a week at the moment. It's full on.
How many people work there at the ROV?
A team of just under 30.
Okay. Yep. You're the president. Gil King is the CEO.
Yeah, amazing CEO.
He is fantastic. And his background is an interesting one as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
His career started in the police force, which most people aren't really aware of. Yep. And then spent many years at HIA.
Yep.
And has had a lot of work, association with government, knows many of the ministers and the people who, make rules and legislation. So it's quite amazing when you go to a function with him, you kind of lose him because he just knows everyone. Yeah, he's that person.
He's very well connected. Yeah. I think he's a fantastic CEO, does a great job, and I know he's bringing us together really, really well, which is fantastic. Now, I don't know if it's been forgotten or we've been forgiven, but we did do GPTV many years ago at the ROV. I feel like maybe you knew about that, which is why you've come out here rather than inviting us in. Because I don't know if we have any footage, but last time they set us up in a room. They said, look, Enzo will be with you shortly. Now, you've gone through all of the room, Phil. You've been followed around the camera.
Broken a whole lot of things.
Things. You tried to take that big, what was it? Is it a big bell?
It's enormous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
A big gavel. Yeah,
it's a metre and a half long.
So I think Phil got caught halfway down the stairs with that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you've come in here now. Let's talk a bit about the ROIV. There's also real estate institutes for every state as well. And I just want to talk a bit about how how you deal with government also, because I know that in the past there's been real challenges with the way government has dealt with the industry in terms of the relationship between REIV and government. I don't think there's anything controversial or secretive about that. I know that's been a real issue, but it seems like now there is a very good or certainly much better relationship between the REIV and government. Are you finding that's changed?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's important that the government in all the different areas are able to come to the REIV and have these conversations. Yep. You know, we've received, you know, on the weekend we received the draft regulations. We received notification generally beforehand. Everything remains confidential before it is publicly announced. You know, there's mobile numbers of ministers. You know, I know that we provide direct information through to the Treasurer's office twice a week, particularly around the auction clearance rates, because obviously he needs to know what money he's got coming in before he can spend it. Sure. But yeah, directly with the Premier's office, it's really a very deep relationship, which has been great.
Yeah, which is just fantastic.
So can I ask, they're properly consulting with the Real Estate Institute, because over the years there's been a lot of feedback amongst members about how consultative are they with the REIV. Do you feel that the level of consultation at the moment has been sufficient?
Look, I think it's a challenged area with COVID-19. They certainly will say, okay, this is what we are planning. What information can you provide to us? Tell us some practical challenges that are going to come with it. So they take that on board. Whether or not they take everything that we make suggestions on, you know, and implement it, it's probably unlikely.
But you feel your access to government.
Absolutely, as a key stakeholder. Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly in the past, it's been government will just come out with things. There's been no discussion, consultation, and really very often no understanding about the impact of things. And that's been probably one of the big downfalls, I think, of government historically. So it's good that they're actually in touch with people who are in touch and know what's going on and are on the ground. New South Wales, I think, is a bit controversial. There's a bit of a revolt there.
They seem to be taking different paths at different times.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, is it the Institute and the government that are sort of almost parting ways, and it became like almost a toxic relationship because you know, they didn't want to be governed anymore by the Consumer Affairs body, and I know it got really out of control there. And thankfully, it hasn't been that way. And at the end of the day, it's much better that everyone just gets on and communicates.
Yeah. And you're going to have some wins, and you're going to have some losses. And what you have to learn to do, and I've had to learn to do that. With, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all of the changes coming through for the Residential Tenancy Act, but I can say, you know, we had a win here, you know, we had half a win here, you know, this isn't great, but we work with it now. And I think we have to do that as an industry body.
100%. And let's talk about Good Friday Eve. The eve of Good Friday, agents get that notice saying no more opens, we know opens are a little bit in the distant past, but we know that the government's come out and said you cannot take people through homes that are occupied by a tenant or owner.
Yep.
So if I'm an owner of a house and I've employed Philip Kingston to sell my home, and I'm
which
so
would
happy.
Be an amazingly good choice, Gary.
Fantastic choice. I'm so happy with that. And you've said you've got all these buyers that want to come through, Philip, and then all of a sudden you can't bring any of them through unless I move out of the house or something. I mean, that was a very aggressive stance. It was turned around. Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. It came through at about 5:35 on the Thursday night.
Have a good Friday, Leah.
Yeah, right.
At industry,
my children ate all of my Easter eggs over the Easter break because I was on the phone so much. But on the Friday morning, we were already on the phone. You know, there were communications to the Premier's office, treasurers, the Minister of Consumer Affairs saying, we think you've misunderstood the practical elements and how we can actually work with it. And we were able to turn it around.
I mean, it doesn't feel like there's examples of agents abusing the safety requirements. It's, you know, I mean, that would be jumped on pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I think you'd know about it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I mean, every agent wants to protect themselves, their employees and the public, and both residents and tenants and everybody coming through.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can imagine that it would be okay. So that's been changed very quickly.
Yeah,
And I'm sure that it wasn't by coincidence either. I'm sure that the REIV played a part in that.
Yeah,
and
there were strong conversations had during those few days.
And thanks to the government for seeing the sense in that as well. We've also had another situation where the residential tenancy laws have now been pushed out, the new laws.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's happened there?
So we know that the Residential Tenancy Act was due to come into effect 1 July.
Yep.
And, you know, as a property manager myself, you know, that was one of the reasons, you know, it was such an attractive 2020 proposal to be president.
You thought that's all you
had to do?
Yes,
right. That's all I had to do.
Just
got
this one thing.
That's right.
Yeah, then there's the fires, the COVID.
Yeah,
and
everything else. We'd been lobbying government for a few weeks to say, look, we're concerned about the the practical element. We knew the regulations weren't coming in until the middle of May, and that was going to give 6 weeks for us to train the state of Victoria. It just wasn't enough. Yep. So we're really pleased that government, you know, took our suggestion on board and being able to push it back. So it will come into effect either on or before 1 January 2021.
There's enough going on, isn't there?
Oh, without it. There's just so much going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and no question also, it gives everybody, the entire industry, the chance to understand how to roll out those regulations, make sure that there's nothing that we don't know about or understand. And there's even some small things that seem to me that haven't been, what is a pet, for example, you know, stuff like that, that has to be worked out so we actually know where we're going. Now, you also do, and Philip alluded to this cheekily before, and thankfully it was a joke, you do deal with disputes.
It doesn't seem...
Are there many disputes between... is agent-to-agent disputes?
Yes, agent-to-agent. Very, very few. Yeah, yeah. I think, for me, I've probably seen one come across my desk. Yeah. Jim Lorandis at the RAV is amazing. He picks up the phone and he does the old-fashioned aspect of, you know, sorting
cranking it out. Yeah, cranking out a solution.
That's right. Rather than these letters backwards and forwards, and it's not worth it. We just need to, you know, sort it out and move on.
And I think the rules are pretty clear now. Most agents know what they've got to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me, the issue that's gaining traction in the media at the moment is stamp duty, and it seems to come and go on a regular cycle of news media. What's your view? Stamp duty got any chance this time of getting some traction?
Well, we are expecting today some announcement from the Premier that there is a desire to remove stamp duty, but then have a an overall blanket land tax for all property owners. So, yeah, we have to really look at how that's going to work. What are the thresholds? What are the measures? And if you're an investor and you already pay land tax, do you pay that land tax on top of this proposed new land tax? Are the calculations going to be the same? It's something that we need detail rather than just
on
an announcement.
On balance, though, does the Real Estate Institute have a position as to favouring a broad-based tax? Or is the stamp duty just a necessary evil?
I think there are some advantages having the broad-based tax, but there needs to be some concessions around it, particularly if you think about somebody who's maybe in their 60s who aren't probably not going to sell and buy real estate. So should they be penalised? And again, those measures and formulas need to be applied.
And the land tax is really, I mean, land tax has never been higher.
No, that's right. And it's different for commercial as well.
Yeah.
But I have to say, our calculations and our formulas are better than New South Wales. So sometimes you don't want to push too hard.
Is that right? On land tax? Or
land tax.
It's even higher there.
Yeah.
Also, I think in New South Wales, there might be a state tax. I don't know if it's still in or was going to be in or has been in. Where if you're not occupying a home, there is a premium on that as well.
Vacancy tax.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a Victorian charge.
Yeah, no, it's in Victoria as well, although very quiet. We don't hear or see too much of it.
Yeah.
I think the Victorian market pays about 19 different taxes around the property sector.
Is our stamp duty still the highest in Australia?
It's up there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It always was.
And now the median house price has just jumped to $893,000.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a sec too. The medium.
That's a good news story for me.
That's a good news story. I don't want to put too much water on that. But that's also from what period?
That's the March quarter, so January. Which you have to remember, January is very quiet.
It is, yeah.
I think agents came back a little bit earlier this year, probably the last week of January.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of weekends where there were 80% clearance rates.
Yeah. It's flying. Yeah.
So it's up 3.7% since the December quarter.
Okay. So that's from January, February, March.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Now it's going to be interesting what we see now.
Yeah.
And just on that, I mean, the volume is down, significantly down. I mean, certainly agents and the industry are hurting. We're not an industry that gets a lot of sympathy out there.
Yeah.
And there's people that are a lot worse off with different industries right now particularly. But with our volume being decimated, there are agents that are in trouble, surely, right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know, you know, how I mean, when COVID's over, do we think there's going to be a big upsurge and upswing in activity?
We know that traditionally through the winter months, there's lower transactions and less transactions. So that's expected. And, you know, it's from the industry, it's not bad timing. If there was ever going to be good timing, this is the better time for us as an industry. But I am really confident that I think we're going to have a really, really strong spring.
Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like everything's being sort of pent up and almost stocked on the shelves
and
it'll all just come out then. Vacancies and rents, what are we finding there? I mean, you're not only the president of the Institute, but you've got your own business, of course, and it's property management, and it's been around for a long time. It's got a great name reputation, although none of our landlords listening here don't want you running off to Leah. Tell us a little bit about how you're seeing the rents now. They feel like they've dropped and come away a bit. The vacancies are taking a bit longer. What are you finding out there in terms of your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So vacancy rates were sitting at about 2.3%, but anything less than 3% is critical. So that's what people really need to remember. I think what we'll just see, the rents will adjust a little bit. I don't think we're going to see too much because you tend not to, you know, there still has to be that stock coming through. We were already, you know, we're getting 120,000, 130,000 people coming into the state every year from a migration point of view. We've got to house them somewhere. So I'm confident that we'll see rents probably remain reasonably stable. I think what we'll see over the next few months is how this new legislation is going to play and how we work from a practitioner's point of view, and in the sense that, you know, we're qualifying, and I think you guys would be doing the same thing, you're qualifying people to view properties. The same would be applying from a rental point of view.
And I think that's I think that's very true. I know our guys are asking a lot more questions, not just meeting people at will. Although, just talking about the actual rent being paid, we talked a bit off camera just beforehand, massive majority, like 97%, 95% of people paying rent, paying full rent still. So I think that says that even though there is some unemployment that's increased, which is very sad, of course, but with the job keeper, job seeker, and with people understanding that rent is right up there in terms of their greatest commitment, it just seems like most people are still getting the rent residentially. Most landlords are getting the rent. Would that be a
fair? I think so. I think we're seeing different pockets that are going to be challenged more than others. But absolutely, you know, my dialogue all the time at the moment is that once that JobKeeper and JobSeeker payments start to come through and people are seeing those funds in their bank account, they'll be able to be, you know, confident that the system's working, but also confident that they can make their payments for their rent.
I spoke to a developer yesterday, and I wonder if you're a developer now, are you going to be likely, you think, to actually get a little bit more grace in terms of being able to develop? I mean, certainly for the economy, and I know if we talk about inappropriate development, we know that that's never good in any time, in any economy, but we talk about appropriate development or certainly some increased level of density. Do you think there's going to be more of an appetite from government bodies to allow developers to put cranes in the sky and start doing some development to make certainly inner suburban living a bit more affordable and a little bit more available for people?
Yeah, I think the affordable aspect is always a challenge. And to see, you know, I think units are sitting at $660,000 as a medium house price, and, you know, houses are $893,000. We still have to have affordable housing, so that they have to look at the locations and the types of the properties. And obviously cladding is the other aspect that needs to be considered with everything else that's going on out there.
Yeah, and what is going on with that?
You know what, cladding is one of those things that's kind of very quiet at the moment because there are so many other things going on, but it's not going to go away. You know, there'll be vendors that just won't be able to sell their properties for the time being until that cladding is resolved.
So the cladding's an issue that's a sort of a new issue. And the other issue, of course, is meth in apartments and in houses. I mean, that's something that was also, you know, I mean, we've both been around a while. All three of us have been around a while. A long while, Phil, really.
I'm glad you pointed you, not me.
But, I mean, we're seeing things that we've never seen before. You know, we've got now situations where, and we've had one on our rent roll, where it was found that the tenant beforehand used it for meth, either used meth or... And now there's this whole process involved. I mean, that's pretty, you know, pretty severe for a landlord. Now you've got a place vacant and you've got to spend a lot of money getting it fixed up. How do we track and monitor that now? What are the what are the rules and regs and requirements around that? I mean, we're all just working that out. Have you got any thoughts or comments on that?
Look, there is, the new legislation says that there is a requirement to disclose it, but that's only if you know it. And, you know, we have to remember property managers, you know, they're not the police, they're not investigators. They're doing, you know, an amazing job on the skills that they learn on the job every single day. So, you know, it's about making sure that if they are coming across anything, that they report it to the police and the insurance company, because it is, it's a whole nother issue there.
There are some also regs around material facts that's also come out now. Just another thing to throw in the mix
that's
now.
Right. You're aware of that. Are we going to, if you know that you've got an apartment that was a meth lab and the person that was running the meth lab had coronavirus and the building, the apartment
has cladding?
Has cladding.
Yes.
Is that going to be an easily lessable property?
you might have some challenges there.
It'll be easy to let or sell, Phil. You can sell that, no problems at all.
Bargain.
Yeah, exactly right.
That renovator's
that's
dream.
That's not the apartment that you want.
It's probably not the best listing, and it's going to be fun getting a valuation on that one, isn't it? Or an appraisal. Wow. Well, you've been generous to come on the show, so thank you. So much going on in the real estate world. It's a fascinating time. Usually we're talking about all of our auctions and sales, but there's none of those. But just before you do go, I want to talk a bit about Perth, or New South Wales, Western Australia, I should say. Western Australia have come out and said,
I know.
Open for inspections.
Yes.
Have they actually made that declaration you can have them, or they said we're moving towards having them?
I think they're moving towards them. Yeah. We've been watching the numbers in WA, and Damien Collins is the president over there, and they too have a lot going on. They've got the RTA happening in their space as well.
Is there a sort of a secret president's group that you're part of?
There is some conversations that happen, you know, off record, so that everyone's aware of the challenges that each other's facing.
And of course, there's also the real estate industry of Australia.
Yeah.
What's there? I mean, are all the states a sub-branch of those, or are they just consulted together? How does that work?
So the REIA, the president is Adrian Kelly at the moment. Yep. So again, you know, he clearly crossed way too many cats in his last 12 months. So he's actually from Tasmania, and so he oversees at a federal level, you know, whereas the REIs are all at the individual state levels, and we push everything up. So if there's conversations like this had with regards to rental relief, you know, he will then push it up through the different ministers as well.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fantastic. So with what's happening in West Australia, do we think maybe we can have opens and auctions in Melbourne soon? Do we know? Any tip? Any late mail?
Look, no, I don't have any tips. I can't see them opening the auction aspect. I think agents, although it's been a different environment, I think agents have really taken really well to the online auction platform. You know, there are some platforms that I think are better than others. I don't think we'll ever lose the street auction. It's
so
part
Melbourne,
of Victoria.
Isn't it?
That's
so
right.
So Melbourne. Yeah, I mean, we're the auction capital of the world, and
absolutely,
you travel around the world, and people are fascinated by it.
That's right.
But it still works, which means you'll probably still have a job, Phil, and so will I.
Well, I was hoping to have the rest of the year off. So,
well, you might still have that too. We'll just have to see what happens because we don't know what's going on. It's a very interesting time, and I think the world's never going to be the same, and maybe real estate won't either. I mean, all the technology now, I know that we've jumped on a few different platforms and some new ways of communicating and doing business through technology, which you've been driving me on for a while, Phil. So
abacus I gave you for your birthday. I just got
it worked out, and you wanted me to move on to a calculator already. You're very demanding.
But for an older industry, for an industry that I'm sure you guys would agree that is often difficult to change, doesn't like change really quickly. The industry has been agile, they've changed things in their businesses really quickly. They have been collective, they've been amazing.
Maybe that's a reflection of the president that we have. A new modern thinking young president, so maybe that's helped us make those changes and move into the year 2020, a year of challenges and excitement. And look, no doubt I'll vote for you for next year. I think to stay on, because I think you need a year where you can just maybe not have all of this. Exactly right, a year of rest. But thank you for all that you've done and you do for the industry. I've been, you know, very vocal in my support for you, and it's not, you know, it's not something that I chase around looking to do, but it's just, I think you've stood up for our industry so well. You've done such an amazing job in keeping all of the members advised and in representing us so well. So I just want to say thank you. I think Philip is interested in the presidency maybe for 2021.
There's a position going at the end.
I'm going to give it a really red hot crack.
Exactly right.
Can't get any more difficult, can it?
I don't think it can.
And I think for the next year, if Phil's the president, he's going to say to you, what was all the fuss about? It was so easy. I can't understand why you were saying it was difficult, but it has been an amazing year. So thanks again. Yeah. Thanks for being on GPTV.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you involved. And we look forward to keeping in touch and having you continue to represent our industry so beautifully, you and Gil, the way that you do. And thanks for being on the show on GPTV. Thank you very much to Leah Kelman.